That's why I have four glasses, actually, in my briefcase. It's nice, isn't it? You get them at the dollar store. From time to time, we like to share with you the different things that different people in the church are doing. And one of the things that have been going on is Craig has been ministering within the prison. And so I've asked Craig just to share a little bit. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of interview you. Can we do that?
Sure.
You look all dressed up.
Thank you.
not that you don't normally.
I don't normally.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right. But you actually retired fireman.
Yes, sir.
And you just had a proclivity to go to prisons, right?
No, not exactly. No, it was, we had talked that day about everybody had to do something and how the spirit and flesh were always at odds. And I was coming home from that and I heard an ad for prison fellowship on the radio. And I go, there's one thing I would never do. And I realized that once I made that, I drew that line in the sand where I was going to end up. So I made a turn and signed up for prison ministry.
And so how long have you been doing this now?
I don't know, but I think I started in 09, so 10, 11, 12, 13, a little over 4 years, mm-hmm. That's my best guess.
And you've been teaching different classes.
I sure have.
What are some of the classes?
Well, I started out just mentoring, and they asked me to find a curriculum. I mean, I never went to teach, but they asked me to find a curriculum. I go, I can do that. How hard is a curriculum to find? And I found one, and we had to rewrite it to fit. And then they said, well, could you teach it, see if there's any bugs in it? I go, sure. And then I started teaching Hope and Hire, which is how to get a job when you get out. And I was just sharing with Stella that Michael, who came to church with us one day, starts a job Monday, but it's in Decatur, Georgia. So I'm glad he's working. I wish he was closer. But it's how to get a job when they get out. And things that we take for granted, they just don't have that skill set. And so, and then from there, I went to anger management or uprooting anger. And
kind of did a study in James with that, didn't you?
Well, James, when I get in a book, I kind of believe that's the best book in the Bible, and I'm kind of that way with James. It kind of fits everything. It's just
Don thinks it's Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, I hear you. But James is really good, and it's count it all joy. It's I guess one of the dominant themes there. Regardless of your circumstances, count it all joy, and so James really fits in there. And
so, in your time with the prison ministry, what have you? What has surprised you?
Everything, absolutely everything. How before I started teaching uprooting anger, I believe I could have taken an oath in a court of law that I'm not an angry man. There's no anger in me. I'm good. And I went in there and it's uprooted so much anger in me that's been buried. And so it's been very cathartic, if you would, helping other people sort these things out. The first night I went to prison, Mary and I were feuding about something, as married people do. And it was pretty minor. It was like, I don't know if dinner was late or it was cold or it was, too much salt or something. But I talked to a guy and he said, I'm having troubles with my wife. I said, well, what makes you think that? He said, I haven't heard from her in a while. I said, how long since you've heard from her? He said, about 3.5 years. And I go, I have no problems. I have none whatsoever. And I made a vow right then that Mary could serve me dinner burnt and cold, and I was not going to complain. So it helped me put things in perspective that I really don't have problems, and that they're but it's opened my eyes to just a real drastic need for mentoring, if you would.
And what prisons are you involved in now?
I go to Lodi. That's where I started, and that's where I'm going. I start back there Tuesday. I go to Florida State Prison, which is the main prison. And I go to Baker. Monday I'll be in my year starts tomorrow. Monday I'll be in Montgomery Correction, which is a jail, and then Thursday I'm back at Baker. But when I'm
really, they give you quite a bit of freedom to talk with these guys.
It's absolutely incredible the freedom that I have. I can say anything that's on my mind. I really can. I can proclaim the gospel as loudly and as strongly as I want, and there's no restrictions. Whereas a chaplain has a lot of restrictions on him, and he's got to worry about things. It's been amazing, the freedom that I have.
You were talking about some new ministries that were opening up, and one in particular about going into the worst of prisons.
Well, exactly. I don't want to get too far into history, but about back when George Bush was governor of Georgia, they started faith and character-based dorms, and they've noticed a drop in recidivism, the speed at which these guys come back. And it's really working, and it's spread to Florida and spreading to all 50 states, and there's theology, colleges going into these, a lot of good things happening. The state decided that they wanted to do that out of Columbia, which is down the street from one of the prisons I'm at. And to do that, it's an enormous undertaking. It's just huge. And so we've been trying to get that dorm set up at Columbia Prison. I don't know what my role will be.
It's like seminary classes in prison.
Well, it's not quite that advanced yet. Uh-huh. There's about 12 courses that they teach these guys. One of them's anger. One of them's parenting. One's finances, alcohol, AA, NA, and different courses, so these guys have the tools to go out and hopefully win the battle when they get out there. But when they have those core courses under the belt, and they're all biblically based, they're all Christ first
classes. But we were talking about seminary classes.
Yes, we were.
In a particular prison, right?
Yeah, they were. To show you what's possible when somebody puts us, when God allow somebody to do something. Angola Prison, which was in Louisiana, was the nation's bloodiest prison. Something like 92% of the men will never get out. And they had the attitude, I got nothing to lose, you know. And they got a new warden on the day, on his way to prison. His first day, his mom said, you know, God's going to hold you accountable for those men's souls. And they've completely turned it around. It's one of the safest prisons in America right now. And they have New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and I probably got that little mixed up, has put in a 4-year seminary there, and they take guys that will never get out, and those that are saved and have made a commitment, and the men have to show a lot on their part before to get in these classes, a 4-year seminary degree, and then they're sent out as missionaries to other prisoners. They're never going to leave the prison system, but now they're affecting the lives of people who will be getting out, and that's what's really encouraging. What excites me about that most is that's an area that mankind would never assume we could do anything. Well, they're toast, forget about them, you know, just lock them up, forget about them. But God's going, no. I like to take the weak to confound the strong and the foolish to confound the wise. And so God's doing that. And they're doing that in Florida, too. Their prison fellowship has made a commitment to put a seminary in all 50 states. I don't know what the time frame is, but that's what they're working towards. So
you've really grown attached to some of these guys.
I have. I really have.
Did you ever think that would happen?
No. And you know, it's amazing that when God puts something on your heart, that it's, you know. And for the first couple of years I'd done this, I remember sharing with Pastor Gary. I said, you know, you could talk me out of this. I didn't have that sense of, well, God wants me to do this. It was just seemed like the right thing. But now that He's knit my heart with some of these people that.
Now we know people or have loved ones that have gone to prison, been sent to prison for any reason.
Sure.
Can we just let you know, and is it possible that you could just contact them?
Sure. I can write to them. I can. There's a seminary in town here called the Jacksonville Baptist Theological Seminary. It's not accredited, but if there's somebody's in prison and they're willing to go through a 3-year seminary course, they'll send them all the materials for free and teach them the Bible and actually give them a diploma. This from an unaccredited school.
What
but
about
it is
getting
something.
You to go see them?
I'd be happy to. I'd absolutely be happy to. I enjoy that kind of thing. I really do.
And, we know you do.
Yeah,
thanks. Appreciate that. And, specifically, what would be the best way we could pray for you?
Boldness, you know, that I'm more bold. That'd be it, I think. Yeah.
Thanks, Craig, for your obedience. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's great hearing those things, isn't it? Great testimonies. How the Lord just worked in Craig's life and turned him in that direction. As we were going through the discipleship, one of the things we do is we say, okay, now where's your ministry going to be? And just very interesting how the Lord points us in the direction where He wants us to go. Let's close in prayer. Father, I want to give you thanks for your loving kindness and the way that you bring ministry into being and put burdens on our hearts. Lord, we want to give you thanks for your watch care over Michelle, for your saving grace in her life, and for your bringing about a soul through this whole thing. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.